All right, let's go back to the beginning, but let's take our Bibles first and turn to Exodus 20. Because everything that is done in relationship to God has got to be based on this very first commandment. Everything. Exodus 20 and verse 2. Because the first step away from the true God is having a doctrine which brings the incorrect nature of God. And when that happens, then you're the first step removed away from God. Though you may not understand it, that's in fact what happens. Here, in verse 3, Exodus 20, you shall have no other gods before me. Everything in the whole Bible is hinged and keyed upon this. Everything, as we will see. Now let's read the statement here. Nature of God, the God family. Why do we have God family? Well, we have that because in Ephesians, the third chapter, it says, whom the whole family under heaven and earth is named. And we also have the definition through the word. So let's read it. God, the Hebrew word is Elohim, a plural noun inherently meaning more than one, is a holy family of intelligent beings composed of spirit. The God family is eternal and all-powerful. The God family is perfect in love, purpose, and character. Now notice how condensed and tight all of this definition is. The God family is lawgiver, creator, and sustainer of all substance in life and upholds and controls the universe. The scriptures reveal that the God family created mankind, quote, after our image and after our likeness. Now let's go to Genesis, the first chapter, where we find this. Genesis, the first chapter. All the way through the first chapter of Genesis, the word God is Elohim. And you might go ahead and circle that right in the police booklet there. The I am at the end means plural. Whenever you have a Hebrew word that ends in I am, it is plural. So this means more than one. Now, Genesis 1 and verse 26, and God, Elohim, said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. Now, when we come to chapter 2, we find something very interesting. Verse 4. These are the generations of the heavens and the earth when they were created in the day that the Lord God. Now, here's the first place we have YHVH. YHVH. Now, we have two booklets showing the two Jehovahs of the Pentateuch and two Jehovahs of the Psalm. And YHVH is what is called the Tetragrammaton, which then means the four letters, which is a name of God. But make careful note right here in this particular place, because this should read, and Elohim's, possessive, Elohim's, YHVH, Jehovah, showing that Jehovah came from Elohim. All the way through the Old Testament, Elohim is plural. All the way through. The word Elohim, God, means plural. Eloah, which then is singular, you see. But Elohim is plural all the way through, and the question is, how is it that the Jews come up with only one God? That is covered in the two booklets, the two Jehovahs of the Psalm, two Jehovahs of the Pentateuch. And part of it gets down to the paganism of Judaism. Part of it gets down to that. Now, let's come back to the definition here, the nature of God. Scriptures reveal that the God family created mankind after our image and after our likeness. Therefore, God is the reality of the image and likeness. In order to have something made in an image or likeness of something, you must have the reality of it. You cannot have the image and likeness without a reality. So this is why when Philip asked Jesus, show us the Father, he says, if you've seen me, Philip, you've seen the Father. The God family presently consists of God the Father and God the Son. These two members of the God family have the same form or image and likeness, which they have given to human beings, though they are composed of spirit. One of their purposes is to increase the God family. According to this plan and purpose, they will share their eternal spiritual existence, their vast creation with those human beings who will be born again by the resurrection from the dead into the God family, thereby inheriting their magnificent love, glory, and power as sons and daughters of God throughout eternity. So that is quite an opening statement when you have that talking about the nature of God. Now let's look at some of the other scriptures which are very important for us to understand and realize concerning this. Let's see where it shows in the scriptures in the Old Testament from the references that we have here that there are two divine beings. Daniel 7. We have that right in the scriptural reference, but let's turn there. Daniel 7 and verse 9. Two divine beings. This is important. And this is what really sets the religious world on end. Because they believe in a Trinity. But just like you cannot find Sunday mentioned as a day of worship in all of the Bible, nor can you find anywhere where it says the Holy Spirit is God. Can't find any. Where it says the Holy Spirit is God. Now we know there are references to God the Father that He is God without question, without doubt. We'll see when we get to the section on Jesus that He is also called God. But here in Daniel 7 and verse 9, and I beheld till thrones were cast down. Now where do you find a reference similar to this? Revelation 20. When the kingdom of God is set up. And the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white as snow, and his hair of his head was like pure wool, and his throne like the fiery flame, and his wheels as burning fire. And a fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. Thousands, thousands ministered unto him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. And the judgment was set, and the books were opened. And I beheld then, because of the voice of the great words which the horn spoke, and I beheld even the beast was slain, his body destroyed and given to the burning flame, as concerning the rest of the vision and so forth. Let's come to verse 13. And I beheld in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven, and came to the Ancient of Days. And they brought him near before him, and there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom that all peoples, nations, languages should serve him. And his dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom shall not be destroyed. Brings us right down to the kingdom of God on earth. Now, let's go to Revelation. We don't have this in the scriptural reference, so you might want to put it in your margin there. Let's go to Revelation 5, and we will see another description very similar to this concerning the throne, concerning the Son of Man. And what we're going to see in all of these things is that the Old Testament and the New Testament all tie together. They are parts of one continuous document. Now, chapter 4 talks about the throne of God. Shows it with the 24 elders all round about it. Rainbow all around it. On a sea of glass. Then we come to chapter 5 and verse 6. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne, that is right in front of it, and of the four living creatures, in the midst of the elders stood a lamb, as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God, sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. Here we have two beings again, don't we? We have the throne. We have the one who was the Son of Man, the Lamb of God. And when he had taken the book, the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. They sung a new song. No, let's come down here to verse 11. And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels. Now notice how similar this is to Daniel 7. Very similar. Many angels round about the throne, and the beast, and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands. Almost word for word, isn't it? Yes. Saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb." Now he's called the Lamb here, who was the Son of God. Now put in your margin right there. We'll get to it when we come to Christ. John 1:29. Where Christ is called the Lamb which takes away the sins of the world. Now notice what he receives, how similar this is to what it is back there in Daniel 7. Was slain to receive power, and then riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And then the whole creation is subject to him, you see. So this shows two divine beings. Now, let's come to Matthew 11. That's not in the scripture reference, so you might want to put that in your margin there. Matthew 11 and verse 25. At that time, Jesus answered and said, "I thank you, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth." So this he's showing the Father is greater than he is. He said that in John 14:26. My Father is greater than I am. Because you have hid these things from the wise and prudent and have revealed them unto babes. That's why the world doesn't know. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in your sight, and all things are delivered unto me of my Father. No man knows the Son but the Father, neither knows any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. So in order to understand the true nature of God, that there are two God beings in the Elohim of God, that's what has been revealed to us. No more. It doesn't show that there are three. It doesn't show that there are five. It doesn't show that there are dozens, if some people have come up with different doctrines trying to prove that there are dozens. Ephesians 3, to show that one of their purposes is to increase the God family. That is the whole key. Why is there God? And what is their purpose? If you understand his nature, then he's got to have a purpose. Ephesians 3, verse 9. We have that in the scripture reference. But let's turn there because this tells us an awful lot. This is the whole overall goal that God has in his plan. And this is the thing that's so important for us to really continuously focus in on, brethren. And I know myself, whenever things get difficult or whenever there's a lot going on, I always turn here to really focus and keep in mind what it is that God wants. Because the thing that's important in anything you do is always keep your mind on the goal. Always keep your mind on Christ. Now verse 9. To make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery. We have a special relationship with God, being those called of the first fruits. We need to understand that, brethren. That's why it's so important for us to continue to grow in grace and knowledge and love and all of these things, which from the beginning of the world has been hid in God, and revealed to those whom he's called, who has created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now under the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be made known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he proposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. And there then is the whole story of the rest of the Bible. The whole purpose of God. And it's a magnificent purpose. And that's why when we have the holy days coming up, how it's very important for us to really focus in on it, brother. And really keep that in mind. To whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. Wherefore I desire that you faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. And for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father, now notice, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is made. The nature of God is the key and goes along with the very first commandment, you shall have no other gods before me. Therefore, if you have one, the wrong God, you don't understand his purpose. If you have two, the wrong nature, then you are beginning to slip away from the truth of what God is doing. And number three, nowhere does it show in the Bible any more than the Elohim who became the Father and the Elohim who became the Son. Does not show any more. And those two are one. Let's put in there John 17. Let's turn there, John 17. Those two are one. And so when it talks about the one God, or God is one, that is a better statement. It is God is one rather than one is God. You understand the difference between the two? If you say there is one God, you're saying in number only there's one. But if you say God is one, then the statement has room for more than one being. Now, John 17. And this also ties in with the whole purpose that we talked about here. Let's pick it up in verse 20, John 17. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through your word, that they all may be one. So we are going to become part of God is one. Therefore, the statement God is one, and it has been revealed that there are only two in Elohim, the rest of the plan of God shows that there's going to be more Elohim or gods in that statement. And it's right here. That they may all be one, as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they may be one in us. So even when, brethren, we're all in the family of God as the children of God, God is one. Next verse, verse 22, and the glory which you gave me, I've given them that they may be one, even as we are one. I and them, and you and me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. So this is key and important to really grasp. Question concerning Isaiah 43 and verse 10. Verse 10, you are my witnesses, says the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that you may know and believe and understand that I am he. I want you to circle, I am he. Because all the way through the book of John, Christ refers to himself, I am he. Very important. Before me, there was no God formed, a true statement, because God has not been formed yet. Neither shall there be after me. Now, What does that mean? If God is going to increase his family, what does that mean? Is that the question? There will be no other God family beside the one that he creates. Yes, it would have to be, because if we are going to all be one in Christ and God the Father, you see, then we have to be included in that statement. A comment was made here concerning verse 11. Let's read it. I am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. So when Christ came, that also tells you that he was Lord before he became a human being. And there is no other Savior, and the New Testament backs that up, you see. Yes, good comment. Now, we have the whole series that we did, which I'll mention here. Who is Jesus and the names of God? All of those cover the various aspects of some of the things that you need to know in detail. And we go in great detail in each one of these. So that's why the belief booklet is meant to make some statements, and the statements are very compact. And they're meant to be. But then everything else expands out from that. Let's talk about the glory of God here for just a minute. Exodus 34, God told Moses that no man can see me, that is in his glorified form, and live. So when we come to Christ becoming a man, he had to give up being God in order to become a man, because you cannot have 100% God and 100% man in the same package. Because man cannot exist in the presence of God in the flesh. So, likewise with God. In order to become a Savior, God had to do something very profound and very special. Let's come to the next section then. God the Father.
This tape has been brought to you by the Christian Biblical Church of God website at www.cbcg.org. And thank you for listening.